Getting attacked this podcast. I didn't expect it going this way, Don. I'm the only one that's nice to you on the podcast, and I get treated like shit. It's supposed to be the Voncast, dude.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized,
hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field.
So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. It is certainly the end of the DON week with I, the DON, as your host, and also being told I have the reins and I can do what I want. And I am here with, it's been confirmed, the fan favorite, Vinny Gonzalez. Vinny, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, Don? It's been a long week, but I'm ready to podcast. I'm getting my opportunity with the Don himself, so let's do it, man. Let's wrap up the divisions that we've been doing every single year. So this is wrapping up for 2018 as far as the divisional breakdown with the AFC East.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to hit the AFC West. Man, that's just sticking with me. So we're hitting the AFC West over here, finishing it up while we finally saw our first week of preseason as well. So we're going to do AFC East. But before that, we'll bullshit a little bit on some preseason, what we took away from it so far. But before we do that, just wanted to go over our sponsor, Auction Draft. Auction Draft is the best site for running your fantasy football auction league in 2018. You can sign up now and get on the list for launch by going to letstalkfantasyfootball.com/auction draft. And like I've been saying, we don't get you 10, 20, 30, or 40% off. We get you 50% off your league with promo code LTFF. Also, we are in the running for a podcast award and courtesy of podcastawards.com. So please, if you like us, go to www.podcastawards.com. You register for free and just vote for us in the sports category. We'd love to win. Other than that, Vin, we are free and clear to go. What have you taken away from preseason thus far?
We could start with a bummer. Like, it's good to have football back, but the biggest bummer by far was Geis getting hurt, and he's out for the season with a torn ACL. He was definitely, we usually hate rookie running backs, but he was one I was warming up to.
Yeah.
And definitely one of the guys that I liked a hell of a lot more than the other guys that I thought were getting drafted a lot higher. So it is it saddens me to say that he will not be in action for 2018.
Yeah, no, it certainly was probably one that I think we were all kind of looking forward to seeing a lot of was Darius Geis, especially with Chris Thompson. We didn't know what his start is going to be like with that injury from last year. But obviously those shares are certainly going to go up a lot quicker for Chris Thompson with Darius Geis going down. So pretty crazy. Also just found out today that Jerick McKinnon is going under an MRI. He just left practice on his knee. So that doesn't look good. Maybe by the time this podcast is out, we'll know the more news, but this is what we're hearing. So another person, Walsh, one of his favorites and someone we're looking forward to with the whole new San Francisco team, could be a pretty big bummer for one of the top running backs to go off. So it's another big bummer of the preseason injury so far.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, just trying to take it all in. The rookie quarterbacks got a lot of action, and for the most part, played pretty well. Like, all of them, pretty impressive.
Mayfield looked really good.
Yeah, he tore it up specifically. But in the first half, like first team reps with Tyrod Taylor, he was looking awesome too. So I'm not really sure what's going to shake out for the Browns, but interesting stuff for the Jets as well. They're overhyping Darnold, but I think he played pretty well.
He did too. Yeah.
We'll touch on that this podcast, actually, but he definitely looked sharp and good and ready, but, you know, that was later reps in a preseason game, so.
Certainly. Yeah, I mean, listen, it's Donald's position to win, and it's certainly Tyrod Taylor's position in Cleveland to lose because he looks good, but they're going to be itching for Baker Mayfield. It's going to be one mess up for Tyrod Taylor. And I mean, Josh Arnold, he's set for, and I say Josh Arnold, I'm sorry. all the Joshes, man, the Rosen, yeah. Allen, Sam Darnold is slotted to really win that. So we'll see. I'm over the whole Lamar Jackson hype train that you see on ESPN and NFL. I get that his rushing capabilities are pretty good, but I mean, his passing attempts are not that great so far. RG3, to be honest, I think he looks really good from what I've seen in the preseason games and what I've read his on his stats and all that. So I feel bad that RG3 could be losing a roster spot, even though just because of the hype train on Lamar Jackson right now.
Yeah, that does suck. RG3 looks good on the comeback war path there, but probably won't happen for him. You mentioned he's probably on the roster bubble, but I think he might. I think the Ravens might keep three QBs with the uncertainty in that situation as they go forward. But yeah, Lamar, he's, you know, he hasn't looked as sharp as the other guys to me. He definitely looks like he's ready to run first, which is will get him into trouble in a real NFL game to start the season. So it'll be interesting to see how he develops. But definitely, I don't think it's Joe Flacco. I don't think it's time to let him go as of now. Like, he hasn't shown anything completely crazy to bench Joe Flacco as of yet. So I think it's sticking to my original thing that probably in midseason, if anything, that he'll replace Flacco. I guess just a couple more things. We saw some guys we hadn't seen. We got Kirk Cousins in the unfamiliar place, which he tore it up with Diggs like immediately.
Yeah.
That was wonderful. That made me very excited.
Yeah, no, that looks like it's going to be a really good pair this year. They look very comfortable as well versus Case Keenum. I don't know. I don't know if it's an overreaction. He didn't look good in the first in that preseason, but I mean, he only had about four plays. So I'm not.
Also, the Vikings defense is tremendous.
Defense is really good. First preseason game, and it was one set of downs. I'm not going to really get too worried about that. I think I'm going to like the receivers out of DT and Emmanuel Sanders. I think their value goes up. That was a cool one. I also, what I took away so far is David Johnson is an absolute beast.
Yeah, he looked good.
He had two carries and they were both up like the two hole and he got 14 yards each on that. So, and it wasn't even like it was a hole open for him. Like he had the slash in and cut through. Man, David Johnson looks really good. I'm really excited to see David Johnson play. He could possibly, for me, I think I might take him over Zeke if I'm in that third spot, to be honest. Also, one of my favorites, Melvin Gordon, there wasn't great performance out of him, but what really made me feel good was he was like in literally every single play. Like they didn't take him down out for any third downs. Like he was in there for over the quarter in every single play. So if you're in that, 7-9 spot with Melvin Gordon up, I really think you should take him. I think he's going to have a big year too. So those two running backs are on the hot list for me.
I agree. I think Melvin's going to get fed. Good to see David Johnson back. Also good to see Luck back. He looks good. And he has been shooting up draft boards. So he is no longer, he's really not a value anymore. And he's not a sneaky pick late. You're going to have to pay up for Luck. So it'll be interesting to see where he falls in drafts, but definitely looking sharp and he's ready to go, it would seem. So no shoulder setbacks. The NFL is in full effect right now, Don.
Definitely. Before we get into the Patriots Jets, just one last question for you for preseason, because I think this might affect a few people. That Marshawn Lynch run. I mean, obviously got taken back.
Yeah, he busted one out, but
busted one out. So, Vin, should you do you still feel like everyone should temper their expectations on Marshawn Lynch, or is this something where everyone should get a little excited for a little bit of the old beast mode?
Nah, I mean, he's still a very weathered back, aging back, and I don't know. I think it's going to be very similar to last year, where he's going to be very inconsistent. I think in their game plan as well, they had just like too many running backs to be running, 33, 34-year-old Marshawn Lynch out there every single down. So I still think he's going to be a volume problem, and you could probably take him late as a value because I don't think anyone's going to jump on Marshawn with any excitement for drafts this season. So value late for sure, but I don't really think he's more of a bench fill out for guys that you like would rather start over him. Like you should have your team filled out before you take Lynch.
Sure, I agree. And then real quick, I just got a notification from Sleeper about here that MRI on Jerick McKinnon's knee was what 49ers hoped, per source, good and just a muscle strain.
All right, keep him out for the rest of the preseason then.
Sounds like good news, though. Doesn't sound like a a tear of the any of the CLs. So that brings some hope there.
Sound good and clear on that then. For now, we'll see.
Well, that's good stuff. All right, Vin, are you ready? I guess we're starting off the AFC West hot.
Yeah, I threw the Patriots in there first just because got to start hot, Don. Got to start hot.
Yeah, I guess so, man. Then we got to talk about the Jets, Bills, and Dolphins after. All right. So we're starting with the most interesting cast right now, and then everything else is going to go to shit, just like they normally do because we'll be drunk by that point. New England Patriots, man. I mean, how much more do we really need to talk about Tom Brady other than he's the third quarterback off the board, off of 12-team PPR, off of fantasy football calculator. He is the 11th pick in the fifth round, which is fair, just behind Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson. What do you think, Vin? Do we need to really talk about Tom Brady? No, not really.
He's an elite quarterback. I think he'll continue to be that. I saw a lot of talk about, just in general, this offseason that Tom Brady's cliff is coming, but really haven't seen too much to like think that's going to happen. A lot of people freaking out about a lot of people leaving. Like they lost Nate Solder, Cooks is gone, Amendola is gone, Deion Lewis is gone, J-Matt is gone for the season now. But they have a good cast him yet again.
One big addition to Big Dick Tecker.
I was going to save that for later, but yeah, like I was going to say, they scrap it together every single year. Patriots are fine. Like as much as they don't look fine, I'm going to stop betting against that they won't be fine.
The one that I probably find most concerning is Nate Solder with just an offensive line. I mean, because how many years have Patriots done it with like no name wide receivers or very whatever receivers that they're not Pro Bowlers. They're just out there and get their job done. So how many years have we seen a different offense between, the Patriots other than Tom Brady being there?
Yeah, basically what I'm trying to say is I'm not worried, and I'm surprised that people are worried that maybe Tom Brady will suck, but he'll be fine. He's Tom Brady. He's elite, and I think he'll have a great fantasy year yet again.
So do you have him as your third quarterback off the board?
I'd probably put him at two. Watson.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot that you're very off the Watson train.
I'd probably rank Watson seventh.
Sheesh, Papa. I don't know. I don't know about that, but
sorry, everybody. But that's where I'm at.
So, Vinny's got him actually ahead of where he is going. But is that fair to be a sixth round pick? I mean, I know where that we're quarterback. Independent, where we don't really care to go early. But yeah, I'm cool with Tom Brady at that point. I think I think that you don't have to buy an Aaron Rodgers or a Deshaun Watson early. But Tom Brady lands at that point, and you feel comfortable. If you feel comfortable for going for a quarterback at that point, that's the guy to go to. I'm a little skeptical on the Russell Wilson train. I think there is regression to hit him at some point where he doesn't come back for a second half of the season and put up ridiculous numbers. So I like Tom Brady there. Tom Brady is only been in the league for 20 years doing the same thing. So next. RBs. The dark hole or the black hole of RBs with Belichick offense. I kind of fucked up. My first fuck up will be brought up with my A-team league that I notoriously love to bring up on a podcast where Vinny loves to notoriously just make fun of me for. since we didn't really hit this the AFC West until now, I really hadn't done my research on it. And in this 8-team league, the point system's a little bit different. It's non-PPR, it's standard scoring, crazy bonuses. And I needed a running back pretty bad, and Sonny Michel had dropped a lot. And I was like, at this point, I mean, he's like my fifth running back, so it doesn't matter. But I grabbed him. When I should have just went Rex Burkhead. It looks like Sonny Michel actually just went in for a cleanup procedure with his knee, and they think he's going to start up in the beginning of the season. But apparently they're saying he's having a really tough go on training camp. They're really not loving what they've seen so far. But he is a high prospect, and he does have a quite high ADP still, which I was kind of I wish I paid a little bit more attention. I was never planning on taking a running back. I never like to guess to see which is the one to go with. But at that time with ADP, I just did take him. And but he's still up there. I mean, it's been known that he has not had a really great camp, but he's still in the ninth pick in the sixth round, running back 30. So I don't know, man. Do you have any input for me or for all the rest of the listeners for Sonny Michel?
Yeah. First of all, Don, it's Sonny Michel.
Or Sonny Michel.
Yeah, I don't have a McGillisley problem like we did. Who he's still on the team. I thought the Patriots cut him.
You know, I figured it was like it looked like it was not pronounced Michael or Mickle, but yeah. I was going to go with it. I like Sonny Michel.
You did, but I don't know. I'm really out on Sonny Michel big time. Like, had a bunch of ball security issues throughout college. They bring him in. Everyone thinks that he'll be a main back. When is the last time we saw a main back on the Patriots ever? So
I mean,
very sparing.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Like, it's hard to think in a crowded backfield like this that he's going to get any sort of volume that's dependable.
I mean, he was pretty good in Georgia, or very good, I should say, in Georgia. But do you know why his ADP still? I mean, he's got a pretty solid ADP still.
Oh, I don't know why the ADP is so high. Like I said, I'm not buying into it.
So just
get
off that train completely, right?
I think people should.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I don't know why he's still being drafted at that point. I wish I paid a little bit more attention, did my homework. It's like I'm on a podcast or something for fantasy football.
Trade him, Don. Trade him now.
Sheesh, Papa. All right. So if he's the next best back, skip him and go to the next one.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the safest pick is Rex Burkhead, who's going a few picks ahead of him. Unless you say that there's otherwise, I think Rex Burkhead would be the safest New England Patriot running back to draft.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, it's tough to pick the safest, but I didn't want to argue with you, Don.
There's got to be a safest.
I think it's either Burkhead or White, and they're pretty much the same player.
No, White fell off. White wasn't anything last year either, because I thought he was a safe pick late last year, and he wasn't. It really was more Rex Burkhead last year.
When he was healthy, they did use him a lot more. So they also gave him that 2-year extension. So I think, maybe you have turned me around, Don, and I've maybe turned myself around talking it out. But
I think that James White's value certainly goes up with everything that's going on with Mr. Sonny Michel. So I think that it would be a Rex Burkhead, a James White from that point. Because then after that, I mean, what do they have? They have your boy coming over from Cincinnati.
Jeremy Hill.
Man, I mean, and then our boy Mike Gillisley.
And they also used a lot of Ralph Webb, which was surprising in the first preseason action we saw the Patriots in. So it's a crowded backfield. They're going to do whatever they want. And I'm sorry.
Brandon Bolden is still on the roster.
Brandon Bolden will be there until he's dead. They always have him.
I feel like
he'll always have
Alfred
one
Blue.
Amazing game.
The Alfred Blue of the Patriots is Brandon Bolden.
Dude, just hanging in the league, hanging in there.
They just like him for whatever reason that may be. But yeah, I mean, listen, Mike Gillisley had a flash in Buffalo. Jeremy Hill kind of had a disappointing start to his career in Cincinnati. But, I mean, these are all names to know. But I think that Rex Burkhead and James White will really be the main share while Sonny Michel is figuring out, once his knee procedure is done and figuring out, I guess, with that rough go with training camp, what's next. But I think you can temper your expectations on him at least the beginning of the season. Maybe someone that midseason will come in strides and start to perform for you. But I don't really know if I would start drafting him unless he really falls to you in a much later round.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. See if anyone gets scared about the knee, because we probably won't see him in preseason. So that could either be really good or really bad, depending on if he falls or not. So
certainly.
Don't get a look at him.
Do you have anything else on these? I mean, we always hate even discussing anything about the running backs. We never know what to guess with Belichick.
Dude, so
it's a complete mind game every single time. I always try to steer away because I just wouldn't guess it right if my life depended on it.
Yeah, I agree. I usually tend to steer the way as well. But yeah, I think we're right on Burkhead or White. I'd be comfortable drafting.
Yeah, I think for sure the safe. I think for sure the safest bet is definitely Burkhead. But I think James White will be sprinkled in there, and then you'll see whatever of Gillis Lee and Jeremy Hill. Maybe Jeremy Hill on goal line. I don't know. I'm thinking they liked Gillis Lee though last year in goal line. So
one of those two gets cut because they're the same. They'll want to employ them the same way,
and they're just going to keep bolding.
Yep, exactly.
Sheesh. Okay. That's all I really have for running backs. I don't really have any good fantasy advice for you on them. Besides, Rex Burkhead would be the best bet. We didn't even go over ADP with that though. Rex Burkhead is. I mean, Rex Burkhead does have. I mean, he's going in the fifth round, so
pricey.
It is a big deal. I mean, behind him is Rashad Penny, Kerryon Johnson, Sony Michel, Tariq Cohen, Marshawn Lynch. I'd take Rex Burkhead. I would actually take him at that point. I don't care for Rashad Penny or Kerryon Johnson. Tariq Cohen. I mean, I don't know. He's a utility player. He's got a lot of flashes here and there, but I think I would take the risk on Rex Burkhead over those guys. I think that's fine.
All right. Yeah, it seems.
But I would certainly want him as a third running back, not a number two running back.
I can agree with that, definitely.
Is that fair for you, sir?
That's fair. I think we're locking that one up, Don. Fair. Let's move along.
Moving along. Wide receivers. Julian Edelman facing suspension, which leaves wide receivers as Chris Hogan, newly acquired Big Dick Decker. And they have they just cut what's his face?
Jordan Matthews.
Thank you. Which leaves also what Philip Dorsett.
Kenny Britt.
Kenny Britt and Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah. So it's a mess of guys that are talented, and it's the usual, I think, for the Patriots. And they will figure it out somehow. I think Hogan is probably the one getting drafted the earliest. I think he's going somewhere in the fifth or sixth round.
Yeah, I can get you a more definitive ADP than that for you.
Thanks, Don.
Right now, if I wasn't in the running back slot and in the wide receiver. But yes, he is the first one going off. And that would be he's in the middle of the fifth round. He's right behind Alshon Jeffery and Brandon Cooks, and right ahead of Marvin Jones, Corey Davis, Crabtree. And then right after him is Julian Edelman, which is mind-blowing. This guy's got 4-game suspension, and he's still going mid-sixth round. Don't be a fucker. Yeah. Do not take him in the sixth round.
Nah, don't do that. Name value's dead to Edelman
for
sure.
That's so stupid.
It is stupid. I don't know if – that might be a little too pricey for me too at that point. I don't know how my draft would shake. Yeah, where I'd be comfortable like adding Hogan. Like
I like Chris Hogan there.
He'll definitely be solid for the first 4 games at least with Edelman gone. He tore it up in the beginning of the season when there were some other injuries going on, and then he wound up getting his own midway through. So we would have been able to understand more what he can do with a full season. So Hogan was definitely a touchdown machine early on in 2017. So I think for at least the first 4 games while Edelman's gone, you're getting a nice value. But I just think going there might be a little too early, and there are other guys who are more of a mainstay and have a safer position on their team where they don't really spread it around like New England would do.
The only one that I'll argue with you that I might take over Chris Hogan would be Michael Crabtree. Other than that, Chris Hogan is the 25th wide receiver off the board. You have Marvin Jones, who, speaking of inconsistent and had a hot start, is Marvin Jones. I think Golden Tate is the safer receiver out of Detroit. Corey Davis has a lot of hamstring injuries last year.
Yeah.
I'm not as horny as Walsh is for the Tennessee Titans. So I don't mind Corey Davis. I think that's a fair position for him, but I'll definitely take Chris Hogan over him. Other than that, then there's Julian Edelman, dude. That's a no-brainer. I'm taking Chris Hogan. Sammy Watkins, he's going to be the third receiving option for Kansas Possibly. City. And he's another very inconsistent receiver. Will Fuller, touchdown dependent, inconsistent. Manny Sanders. I'll take Chris Hogan. That's fine. Number 25 off the board. I like it.
All right, lay it down, Don. Jeez. I just drawn a line in the sand on my ass.
I'll draw a line in your ass.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, all right. Point made, Don. Point made.
That's cool. Eric Decker, man. Let's talk about Eric Decker. What is your expectations for Eric Decker in this? I mean, he's now being drafted. He's at the very, very end. He's going in the beginning of the 14th round. So he's pretty much a flyer at the end of your draft.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see if that stays that way. Obviously, he's got to pick up the playbook mid-preseason. So I'm sure he'll be able to do it.
He's also a veteran receiver, man. He's not like a...
No, I know. It's just like how... Like, he'll at least be targeted a lot throughout the first four games, and then Edelman comes back and it might get a little different.
So what do you think? Is Edelman the only one that's going to catch a pass after the first four games?
No, I just think the offense changes. So like you'll get a solid month of like Hogan play, possibly Patterson play, Decker play, and then Julian Edelman comes in, and you know Gronk is still there, still a monster. So there are a lot of mouths to feed and a lot of guys that are probably going to be game script dependent. Game plan specific for the Patriots. So things could get a little weird really quickly with them.
Nothing like getting a little weird.
Just a little weird.
Listen, he's going to, if he's a flyer,
he's a flyer.
Eric Decker's a flyer. Big Dick Decker's a flyer, man.
The thing is, he won't be by the time drafts kick in, I don't think.
He could go up a few rounds, pending. So, I mean,
he has had
experience with Josh McDaniels before, which will make it easier for him to transition into the offense. So, I don't hate him, man. I like him over any of the other receivers of Cordarrelle Patterson or Kenny Britt or Philip Dorsett.
Yeah, that's certainly fair. I agree with that.
So, Eric Decker's a late-time flyer.
Hopefully,
see what
it
does, and at any point of preseason, I don't know what point that'll be. I don't buy into Cordarrelle Patterson at all, or Philip Dorsett, or I don't know. Kenny Britt could be a very inconsistent. I think he's a talented guy that's been a bouncing along different teams as it is, but the only ones that are draftable receiver-wise would be Chris Hogan, which I like him as the 25th receiver right after Alshon Jeffrey. I'll put him right there. And Eric Decker, continue to follow him, but I think he's going to be fantasy relevant in with the New England Patriots.
Yeah. I think I might like Patterson a little more. Just the way I saw the Raiders use him, and they were just like, we're not even going to throw it to you, dude. We're just going to hand it off to you and do your fucking thing. And he was – pretty solid at doing that.
Yeah, so. But I mean, how many games can you do that where he's going to be a viable fantasy option for you?
Oh, it's going to be a pain in the ass. I'm just saying some point.
And so you like that better than Eric Decker?
No. I just wanted to make a case for Patterson.
Oh, I maybe my first half of my beer already got me drunk and I wasn't paying attention to what you were saying there. But I swear, I thought you said you liked Patterson a little bit better.
No, I think we're in the same. I think we're agreeing, Don, and you're yelling at me.
I'm just an angry half beer drunk.
Hogan, Decker, Gronk. Let's talk about Gronk.
Okay, he's sick of this shit. Let's go to Gronk. So Gronk it is, man. Listen, Gronk is healthy. He's the number one tight end.
And number one target on this team.
Easily.
Way easy.
The only thing is that he's got to stay on the field.
A couple podcasts ago, you were saying, I think it was Zach Ertz.
Zach Ertz is my number one tight end. I think he will finish number one. Now, I don't think that's talent and
right, could you do that in a draft?
What's that?
Could you even do that in a draft?
What's that?
Take Ertz over Gronkowski.
If Gronkowski is there, I'm not drafting him. I'm just not going to draft Gronk.
Wow. Okay.
I'm going to wait the round and take Zach Ertz.
Nice game plan, Don. Yeah. I just don't know.
I'm just not going
to. Feasible, that is.
In what sense? So I'm not, listen, I like the tight end position, and I think that if Zach Ertz falls to me, I will take him at the right time. Now, if it ends up being where I'm going to have to reach or whatever it may be, or if Gronk's there and then I know that Zach Ertz isn't going to follow me, I'm just not going to take any of them. So I'm not going to take Gronk. I've never owned a share of Gronk ever, to be honest.
How bad do you want it, Don? You want it a year with Gronk? This might be one of the last ones.
I love Gronk personally, but no, I just don't want to deal with the, I know he's going to get hurt at some point. I'm not going to overpay a round for him when I know I can go another receiver position or a running back position. Like, he's not my third round pick. And some people get crazy with him where they're just like, yeah, I'm taking Gronk in the second round. I don't think that'll be as much the case this year. Gronk is at the end of the second round. So,
yeah, I think we've started to behave ourselves a little more with drafting tight end early anyway. And, I would say
still the gung-ho Gronk or whatever it may be. But, yeah.
Well, if you're wrapping around, like if you're the third pick and it's coming back to you on the wraparound in the second round, you might be safer taking a Gronk and then getting value in the third. So I understand why people would do it.
I don't.
I don't give a shit.
Hence why I haven't taken him. He's the 11th pick in the second round. Zach Ertz is the third pick in the fourth round. Let me wait one round and let me get Zach Ertz.
Yeah. And Kelsey's going in between them, right?
I think Kelsey's going in between them. I think there's just more mouths to feed in Kansas City versus Zach Ertz is the definitive number one target for Carson Wentz with a good quarterback. Carson Wentz. Gronk, I think, listen, if he's healthy and he could play 13 games in the season.
Oh, he'll dominate.
Man, he'll probably end up number one, but I just don't foresee it. The guy's always hurt. So I stay away from it. I don't ever blame anyone for whoever takes him and say, wow, that was a really bad Gronk pick, because it's not, because his potential is extremely high.
Yeah, we've seen it.
And he's a beast, and I love Gronk. He's one of my favorite football personalities. Him and Marshawn Lynch, they're my two favorite off the field NFL personalities. They're hysterical. So I won't buy into it though. I'm gonna wait. My advice would be to wait for a Zach Ertz to come, or even Jimmy Graham. That's fine, but I'm not gonna. When I know I could get another receiver or running back, I'm not gonna just get Gronk in the early third or end of second round.
All right. Fair enough. Reserved. Patience and reserved.
Patience and reserved. Anything else more on Gronk?
No, I think we're done with the Patriots. That'll probably be the longest one we do since, you know, these other ones.
I think we rolled through that relatively quickly. We didn't have much to say about the running backs or wide receivers. We really don't have much content to bring to you guys, and we don't have much advice. So we're really probably confusing you more than anything else.
This is the division where it's like the Weast. No one else has a chance. The Weast, yeah. The no Weast. One else has a chance. The Patriots own the Weast.
They fucking kill the Weast. Well, with that being said, we're going to take a quick break. Here is Auction Draft, and we'll be right back.
Auction Draft is the ultimate fantasy football auction draft experience. With full season and 5-week seasons available, you get the best of both worlds. It's time to play fantasy football the way it was meant to be played. Visit auctiondraft.net to learn more and save 50% off the 2018 season price with promo code LTFF. We'll see you on the field.
All right. Welcome back to the most anticipated part of this podcast. We're going to talk about the New York Jets here, with the QB battle of Josh McCown and not Josh Arnold, but Sam Darnold.
Also Teddy. Teddy's also in there.
Teddy, yeah, he's probably not going to make the team.
Odd man
they'll
out.
Probably get rid of him or trade him or do whatever with him. So, but yeah, let's start QB, Vin, what do we got?
Not much. I think they're going to be exactly what they were last year.
Oh, not much. Just hanging out.
Well, look at it. It's either I feel like they made the same mistake twice. Like they let Ryan Fitzpatrick ball out. They paid. Well, they didn't pay him, but he stuck around for another year.
Well, no, they played him.
You know, not as much as he wanted. He wanted more than that.
I think it was like a 12 mil deal.
Yeah, he wanted more. That was fine. That's fine.
A 1 year, 12 mil deal? Are you kidding me? He got paid.
Dude, that's fucking.
Got paid for a journeyman quarterback that shouldn't be paid $3 million a year. Got paid 12 mil for a year.
I think the way he played, he kind of deserved it. But yes, you know, they're kind of doing the same thing again.
He deserved it. He had one good year out of the 15 years he played. And then guess what? He came back and he sucked.
I like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I like him too. I was all about him.
That was fine. Whatever. Quarterbacks make way more money than that. It's fine, Don.
Not really. These aren't NBA contracts. $12 million a year is a lot.
Yeah, of course it is. But
played well. That's a good amount of money for the NFL. Are you kidding me? Listen, let's get back to fantasy advice.
Jesus Christ.
I'm half a beer in and I'm losing my mind.
Getting attacked this podcast. I didn't expect to go in this way, Don. I'm the only one that's nice to you on the podcast and I get treated like shit. Supposed to be the Voncast, dude.
I'm sorry. We are supposed to be a team.
We're a fucking team. Fine. All right. Yell about Josh McCown then, dude, because I was just going to say it's pretty much the same mistake they've made. They brought in the journeyman for the second time.
I like Josh McCown, though. I think he's a good QB. I think he's a better he's a better QB than Fitzpatrick, which will make it harder. I think he's a good veteran. I think that it'll be Sam Darnold will end up taking this role. I actually think that Josh McCown is a good role model for Sam Darnold. I listened to the one podcast of Johnny Manziel on Part of My Take, which is Barstool Sports, and it was pretty cool. He said the one guy that really like looked out for him was Josh McCown, and he said that just like this guy was just a pro's pro, that just from going in early, knowing how the ins and outs of the NFL worked, it was Josh McCown. So one way or another, I think it's going to be someone that's going to be good for Sam Darnold to kind of learn from, but also not be behind like an Aaron Rodgers was behind Brett Favre or Jimmy Garoppolo was behind Tom Brady. Like he's going to take his position pretty early, but he's also going to have a veteran quarterback that's going to really help him with a start to a career, because look at all these Jets quarterbacks that have had a really rough start. They didn't have any leadership ahead of them. So I think it's going to be good. I think, man, I don't know. Maybe out of this preseason, Darnold starts week one. I don't know. Josh McCown is the QB1. I don't really know where they're going to go from there, but at some point you are going to see Sam Darnold in there. They are not being drafted, either of them. I was actually listening to ESPN radio. It's just so funny to listen to ESPN radio for the fact that like, I don't know like what some of the callers are thinking. I give a props to a lot of these guys that are on the radio and just like, don't make fun of them. The guy's like, yeah, what round do you think I should take Sam Darnold? And I forgot what her name was. She was in for a Saturday, and she's like, you don't take Sam Darnold at all. But she said the biggest fantasy advice is like, if you want to win in your fantasy league, you need to leave your commitment to the team that you like at the door when you walk in and you do your draft. Because if you just start going with homer picks, it gives you less of a chance to have a competitive team that will be a winning team. So that's the case. So if any of you Jet fans out there are really thinking about taking a Sam Darnold, don't. Josh McCown was a cool streamer last year. Don't know how that's going to be the case this year just yet.
Cool, but he was he
was a pretty cool streamer for a little bit. I streamed quite a few weeks actually, and it worked out okay.
I know you did. That doesn't make it cool.
We're a team, Vin.
It's the Voncast. That's right. I'm pretty mad about the Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't know.
What are you mad about? What part?
He didn't let me finish my comparison.
What did you want to finish?
Relax.
He wanted to get paid, but didn't. He got paid $12 million a year to suck.
After he got, not as much as he wanted, though, Don.
After they just missed the playoffs the year before. They didn't even go to the playoffs.
That's what I mean. Like, it was justified. Right, we got to stop talking about this.
Anyway, we need to hash this out.
Off air. Off air, we'll yell. About this shit. So, Don, you are just not staking a claim to who's going to start week one, because I think it will be Josh McCown. And then I think once they're out of contention, which they will be, I think Darnold hops in then.
Yeah, I mean, it is at a, what it is. I don't know. He had a good first preseason game. It's another thing you're going to have to watch a preseason to know. I don't know who's going to be the week one starter. To be honest, I don't know. So it's Sam Darnold's team. It's all of a matter of time of when he comes in. Could be the beginning of the season, could be middle of the season. He will be in at some point. Well, that being said, neither of them are draftable.
Agreed.
There are 26 other quarterbacks that you could take ahead of them.
30.
Or 30. If it makes you feel better, Jameis Winston is like suspended for however many games, and he's being drafted.
Just two. But yeah, that is ridiculous. Who the fuck is drafting a suspended quarterback?
Don't know.
That's insane.
Who didn't really have a fantasy viable year last year? So
no, not at all.
Do you want to go into Teddy Bridgewater, or can we just leave it at like it's a Josh McCown, Sam Darnold, Teddy Bridgewater?
Yeah, I think he's on the RG3. Like, I'll probably play decent, but may or may not make the roster, and that sucks.
Yeah. I think that we should go to the next position. I think actually running back and wide receivers are actually pretty interesting good for the Jets this year.
Honestly, yeah. I know we specifically, me, like to shit on the Jets like a lot. But honestly, they have a good team on paper, and they were a lot better than everybody thought they would be, including myself.
Yeah.
Last year, they were fighting and scrapping for every single game. And I think that's going to be the case this year. I just, I don't know how it's going to pan out. I think they have a better roster in itself this year on paper anyway.
They have a, yeah.
It's a decent team. And their defense was decent.
Their defense should be relatively good this year as well. Yeah. But I mean, before we hit running back and wide receiver position, I mean, you got, what, four running backs, Isaiah Crowell, Bilal Powell, Thomas Rawls, and Elijah McGuire. That's not a bad committee. It's not a star-studded committee, but it's a very solid committee, I would think. And then wide receiver-wise, you got Robbie Anderson, who had a really good year last year. Quincy Enunwa, who should possibly be a flyer for you because he was slated to have a good year last year.
He's dinged up this season too, which sucks because he just can't stay healthy, but obviously showed flashes.
But then we also have Jermaine Kearse, who had a good year last year, and you have Terrell Pryor, who's added. So yeah, man, I mean, they've loaded up on some, like, a lot of like average players that could make their offense relatively decent or better than their decent team last year. Yeah. So, let's hit RBs first, Vin. They just added your boy Isaiah Crowell from the Cleveland Browns last year. And they just added Thomas Rawls from Seattle. So what do you got, man? What do we got on the depth chart? I believe Isaiah Crowell is numero uno at this moment.
So uno would be Crowell. Dos would be Powell, which Powell, of course, he's like kind of the mainstay there for now. And his I think they want to use him the same exact way. Barring injury, I think Powell stays as the number two or the third down back for them, change of pace kind of deal. Mm-hmm. And he's always been pretty good and explosive, so I think it's an interesting flyer if you want to take Powell. But I think it's funny because it's like Crowell and Powell, and then they have like pretty much just understudies like with Rawls and McGuire because they can both replace the dudes in front of them. Like,
certainly,
Rawls can plug in for Crowell, and McGuire can plug in for Powell. So I think the Jets they got a good core here, but I do think that Rawls and McGuire can kind of, you know, stay undrafted, keep an eye on them throughout the season, see what's going on there. But Crowell I'm liking as like a late guy for running back starts. I know he left this preseason game against the Falcons with a head injury, so hopefully he's okay. Maybe it's just a concussion. Hopefully it's one of the quick ones. But if he can get healthy for the season, I think he's a great value late. Same thing with Powell.
Yeah, so Isaiah Crowell is the first one to get off the board. He is at the end of the seventh round. He's number 30. He's the 35th running back. So he's the 10th pick in the seventh round. He's right after Marshawn Lynch, Marlon Mack, and Tevin Coleman. And he's going ahead. Wow. He's going ahead of Jamal Williams, Chris Thompson, Carlos Hyde, Duke Johnson, Chris Carson, Aaron Jones. So those are a lot of guys that are in a also in a lot of committees. So someone like Jamal Williams, that once Aaron Jones comes back, that's going to be a three-headed monster. Chris Thompson, I will take over Isaiah Crowell now that Darius Geis is done. I'll also take Carlos Hyde over Isaiah Crowell. That's my feelings on that. But overall, I think that's it's fair. End of the, you know, eighth round pick. Running backs kind of are scarce after, you know, your first two rounds. Then it's kind of like, all right, they just jump into different tiers. I'm not going to own any shares of Jets running backs, to be honest with you. But I agree with where you say that Isaiah Crowell is number one, and then you could take a flyer in Bilal Powell. And they just have a lot of potential, Thomas Rawls and Elijah McGuire. I don't know, you know, how much they're going to take from them, or they could take it all. I don't know. That's why I just don't really care to draft any of those guys.
All right, agreed. I just think the names you mentioned around, like their ADPs, is pretty – it could go in any kind of order, so I could see these guys sliding and becoming a better value because, like you said, not a lot of people are going to want to own these guys, being Jets running backs as it is. An offense that we can expect decent productivity out of, but we're not entirely sure. It's not going to be dynamic for sure, but decent production can be found. So when you're – keep an eye on these guys, like I think in the eighth or ninth, because I think they'll slide down. I think you can kind of bank on that, and then they become value. So you want that bench.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree, Vin. I'm honestly not going to own them. I just don't know where it's going to be. And Jets running backs have never really been a sexy play as it is. So I'll keep it at that point. But Isaiah Crowell is easily the number one. And if you are to take one, it would be Isaiah Crowell. Wide receivers.
Talk about him.
Robbie Anderson, man.
Take it, Don. Your dude.
He was my dude. He helped me out quite a bit last year. He saved me, Robbie Anderson. He's not going to be suspended, correct?
Well,
still up in the air of possibly facing discipline?
Very up in the air, it seems like. I feel like it could happen tomorrow. I could feel like it wouldn't happen even this season. So it is making me very anxious whenever Robbie Anderson's still on the board in some mocks that I've done. So it's a little risky, but I don't know. How are you feeling, Don? Because I know you're way more biased than me, so I want to see how you're gauging it.
Well, I'm way more biased, but
you love
he had him. A really good year last year. He had just under 1,000 yards receiving and 7 TDs. He averages about his average is every reception is almost 15 yards. It was 14.9 last year. And to make you feel a little bit better about it, the year before, his rookie year, his reception average was 14 yards. So, I mean, he puts up good numbers. And he is going right now in the mid-eighth round. He's the fourth pick in the eighth round. The one thing that kind of, like, has me up in the air is he's – probably in the section of wide receivers where I just don't know who to pick with who. Ahead of him is Marquise Goodwin, which I will take over Robbie Anderson for sure. Randall Cobb, Pierre Garçon, Jameson Crowder, who I love a lot too. Robbie Anderson, then Jordy Nelson's right behind him. Devin Funchess, who I think is going to have a better year than most do with Carolina. And then you got Cooper Kupp, who is having apparently great rapport already in camp with Goff. And then you got Robert Woods, Devontae Parker, Aguilar. So he's in this realm of wide receivers where I really don't know which is the best pick. I love Marquise Goodwin, who is ahead of him. But, man, Robbie Anderson is a stud. If there is no discipline against him, I really think he's going to have another good year. I don't think he's a bust.
Yeah, I don't think so either. He was a wide receiver one for the majority of last season, to be honest. And if you can get him in that area, I know there's a lot of enticing names, some guys in new spots. But if you can keep calm and maybe grab some Robbie Anderson that late, it's not a bad pick at all.
So, Vin, the guys going behind him, Jordy Nelson or Robbie Anderson?
Oof. That would have to depend on my team, probably. Safer pick is probably Robbie Anderson, shockingly.
Yeah, I agree. I think that is a safer pick. Yeah. I think Jordy Nelson could go one way or the other.
Correct. Yeah, and I think the name will drag a lot of people into saying Jordy Nelson, but I will lean Robbie Anderson as of now.
Robbie Anderson or Devin Funchess?
Anderson.
Cooper Kupp?
Anderson.
So I'm going to assume Robert Woods. You're going to take Anderson as well?
Yeah, I would.
And then
just higher upside for Anderson, obviously.
So then Anderson lands where he should. I'll go the other way where the guy's ahead of him. What about Marquise Goodwin?
Man, I almost feel like they're the same player.
Okay.
But I feel like the offense could be more dynamic for the 49ers. So I think I would go Goodwin, which would, ADP
too.
Hold strong on those two and is correct.
What about Randall Cobb?
Oh, Cobb is risky as fuck. That dude cannot stay healthy. I think I might go Anderson over him, honestly.
Yeah, I think I would too. And that's being a Packer fan favorite. Pierre Garçon or Robbie Anderson?
I love Pierre, so I'm biased as shit. I think I would take him because I like catches over depending on deep ball bombs. So I think I would go Garçon.
And then Jamison Crowder.
Robbie Anderson.
All right. So there you have it.
Yeah.
Robbie Anderson's pretty much landing where he's supposed to. I like Robbie Anderson there. It definitely has me tossed up in quite a few between the Randall Cobb or the Jamison Crowder or Jordy Nelson or Devin Funchess. I think those four really kind of confuse me with the Robbie Anderson section. But anyone after that with Robbie Anderson, I really like a lot more with Robbie Anderson. So stay attentive to if he's going to be disciplined or not. I think we should probably hear soon before the season starts. So what about Quincy Enunwa? You said he's a little banged up. He's not as healthy as we would hope. He was slated to be the number one last year and have a pretty good year. We saw flashes in 2016. What do you got with Quincy Enunwa, Vin?
I would downgrade him to like a late flyer or just an undrafted guy. It's, you know, if he's not going to see the field too much this preseason, it's honestly, he could possibly not make the team. They brought in Pryor. They have Curse, two dependable guys. I mean, Pryor is more unpredictable than Curse. I think Curse is way more solid. So it's going to be interesting to see how they would even deploy him in the offense after that long year off with the neck injury. He's got a ton of upside, but I just don't know where it would even shake out if he was like all four of these guys are active on game day. I'd be scared to start a Enunwa. It's just it becomes a thing where target share probably wouldn't be in his favor.
Yeah, I disagree. No, I think he's probably going to be a flyer in the drafts as of now. His injury was a neck injury last year.
Yep.
Right now it's a thumb injury that he's out for 2 weeks, they're saying. I think he's already served a week of it. So it's two very separate injuries. It doesn't seem to be too serious of a thumb injury, so it shouldn't be like a nagging injury. He's apparently going to be playing the slot. I like Quincy Enunwa. I think that – I don't know if I'm going to draft him just yet, but I think he's going to be someone that I'm going to be looking to pick up early in the waivers, and I think will be the number two or number one receiver that will finish off with the New York Jets this year.
All right. I mean, he was impressive, but if he is on your waiver, yeah, I agree that he could be an early season pickup, but I think I'm going to wait and see. Hopefully, like, we'll get some preseason action out of him, see how he looks before the drafts. So I'll hold on.
I like Quincy Enunwa. I'm not going to say go draft him just yet, but I think that he has a lot of potential, and I think that he has the potential to do well this season. That leaves Jermaine Curse and Terrell Pryor. They both are undrafted as well. I really haven't followed much of Terrell Pryor with the Jets at all. I think Jermaine Curse is someone that could be a flyer an early waiver ad as well. We did see flashes of Jermaine Curse. He had his best season yet with the Jets last year, leaving Seattle's offense with what was a crowded offensive mouths to feed. What do you have with those two guys, Vin?
Well, sucks that it didn't work out for Pryor last year with
who was being drafted pretty high last year, by the way.
Yeah. So there's a lot to love about Pryor. It's kind of like Inunua for me, like that those guys both have astronomical upside. It's just, will they see the field? Will they put it all together? It's got to be wait and see for me. It's a garbage opinion, and it sucks that I'm even saying it, but I'm going to wait and see like who emerges preseason, or, you know, what the Jets are doing just offensively, like who's out there on three wide receiver sets, who's there on the outsides during two wide receiver sets. I just want to see who's going to see the most action on the field, because they would have the most upside for me.
Yeah, you know, with a disappointing year with Terrell Pryor, that was his year to really show something. I think it's going to be where Terrell Pryor is kind of the odd man out. I think it's going to be a Robbie Anderson and Jermaine Kearse on the outside, and Inunua is going to be in the slot. So I think that Jermaine Kearse is going to end up being the better of the two, and someone that's going to be a waiver pick at some point earlier in the season.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. I mean, with Pryor, he's on probably his last chance, I would say, because Redskins gave him a shot. Jets are now giving him a shot. So I don't want to say he's easily cuttable, but it wouldn't be a pain in the ass for them to let him go if he causes, you know, any issues to their offense or just isn't really picking it up like he did with the Skins. So just got to keep an eye on it as usual. He can make some cool plays in preseason, so don't get too pumped up. Obviously, a lot of people got burnt last year.
Yeah, I like Terrell Pryor. I pull for Terrell Pryor because he's just a talented football player that just, you know, starting as a quarterback, just a super athletic where they put him in the wide receiver position, has a good year in Cleveland. But the Justin and pan out with the Redskins, I think he keeps his spot with the Jets. But just as a fantasy value wise, I think that it's not going to work out to where Jermaine Kearse is. I think Jermaine Kearse would be that waiver guy and will have that better season than Terrell Pryor. So if anyone's looking to get a late round flyer, I don't think the Terrell Pryor should be someone that you're going off of a name and thinking, maybe this would be a good fit for him with the Jets and he might do something. You would end up dropping him anyway, and don't grab him.
Yeah, absolutely fair.
Do you have anything else on the receiving core end before we hit the tight ends, which will be very quick as well?
Yeah, not really with the tight ends either. They're a weird bunch. A strange grouping of names. I don't even want to even talk about them, honestly. I don't think they'll have any value.
Well, we'll just say their names real quick.
honorable mention.
Clyde Walford, he was with the Oakland for a few years.
It was okay. There was a lot of sometimes he would get pumped up for a stream and just kind of fall through.
Yeah, I think it was you'd think like there'd be like this is the week we should really stream Walford, and it kind of didn't pan out. He only 9 receptions last year. Lost his job to Jared Cook pretty quickly. None of these guys are even being drafted. Out of the 20 top tight ends that are being drafted, none of them are. That's Clyde Walford, Jordan Leggett, and Eric Tomlinson. Yeah, I'm done. I'm sick of it. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Told you.
I'm bored. That wraps it up. Do you have anything with the Jets? Anything else? More about them, Josh McCown, Fitzpatrick ordeal?
I still didn't think the Fitz thing was awful. The fact that he wanted more money, and they settled for 12. Of course, he wants more money.
You saying that he didn't get paid is ridiculous.
No, of course he got paid. I'm just saying, like, he didn't get his mega contract. He just got his.
He doesn't deserve a mega contract.
I know, but that's what he wanted.
That's talking like Kirk Cousins franchise tag contract, bro.
That's basically how Fitz was talking about it at press conference. Like, he wanted that big, not like that.
But he didn't deserve it. What? $12 million in the NFL. This is not NBA or MLB contracts. That is a great contract in the NFL.
He deserved it.
Give me $12,000. Or $1,200.
For you, yeah, maybe, Don. Maybe.
All right.
I'd want to lock you up for a while, though. I'd do 5 years, maybe 60.
I'm a long-term guy with a lot guaranteed. With a lot of those like added bonuses.
For performance, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Make one tackle.
I agree, Ben. I agree. But with that being said, do you have anything else to wrap up the first part of the AFC West? before we hit the second part of the AFC West this week?
Ah, second part will be gross, but we're going to get it done.
I've never looked forward to a podcast more than the second part of the AFC West.
Yeah, Dolphins, Bills. Whew, it doesn't get any sweeter than that next. But, yeah, I'm done with Jets, done with Patriots. Glad football's back. Week one of preseason was excellent. Very happy.
All right. With that being said, that's Vinny Gonzalez. I am your host, the DON. We're almost done with the DON week. Be good, fam.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.